any fee on here?
The chutes, voter pass fee that you've already passed out, with a total of $382,000, of expected revenue from the voter pass fee charged to anybody who does a day trip on the Deschutes River.
And what is the fee? Is that like if you do the same?
$1.75 a day.
Per person per day, or $12 for an annual pass per person.
And is there a limitation on the amount of people that, I'm using this as yardstick as comparing it against like the lower road?
There's no limitation at this point. One of the major items of discussion is whether or not there should be some form of limited access on the river, whether that be jet boaters from the bottom coming up the lower stretch, or whether there should be some restricted access along the private property and reservation property on the upper section of the river. The river is really in three rough segments. The upper part, that's either private or Warm Springs, where and those folks are interested in controlled access. The middle part, which is basically the high day use part of the river, with a lot of access points and a tremendous amount of volume. And then the lower part, which again is a more controlled point, where basically you either float it or jet up it from the bottom. So the river's in three almost identifiable segments. The question is, how are we going to deal with those, and what's going to be the final recommendation? Is there going to be limited access on part of those, or is there not going to be limited access? Right now, everybody who spends a day on that river spends $1.75, or they have an annual permit. That money generates, they predict, $382,000 the next biennium. In that $382,000, they have about $153,500 dedicated to either acquisition or development of sites along the river. And a couple of those, and John, you'll have to, my memory failed me on which ones you were talking about, a couple of those may not happen this biennium. So there could be money available within that voter pass fee. And what I would suggest is that you take a look at capturing maybe $45,000 of that $382,000 for the purposes of conducting this study.
Okay, no.
Did that long answer get to your question?
Well, we're getting there. I don't have some of the information you're working from, so it's hard to look at these numbers.
I don't know.
My next question then is...
That's the current breakdown on the voter pass fee.
Okay.
And that's a rough suggestion of the cost of that's where they got to the 83.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, are we really going to achieve the planning? Because I think this whole thing, as you talk about reducing 83.5 down to 45, then are you really going to achieve your planning that you hope to achieve? Because it isn't going to do any good to tell these people to go out and plan something and not give them adequate funds unless they go out and do it with.
What?
You're just kidding yourself, and you're kidding the people, and the fact that you're trying to achieve something is not going to ever be achievable.
I guess my question, I would answer with questions to the department. They had every intention of doing a management plan on the river.
At what point?
In the next 2 years. That was part of their plan.
Was that in their budget?
Yes, supposedly it was.
And it was already funded?
Well, they were going to do it. And my question to them, and maybe they'd like to respond, is that they were going to do it more low-key. And I assume then that the entire $83,000 are generated strictly because there's now an advisory committee that they have to deal with, in addition to what they were going to do in-house for a management plan. Frankly, I don't think that washes. If you're going to do a management plan, and if you were going to do a reasonable one, and you were going to contact all the parties that are involved in that, the landowners, the users, BLM, the state, the federal government, the counties involved, it's going to take some staff time. And it seems to me that ought to be the same staff time that would be working closely with the advisory committee. And it seems to me reasonable if the department had expected to do a management plan, then if that plan was going to be a reasonable attempt, that they have resources within their budget right now to dedicate to working with an advisory committee, and we could provide the additional costs for the advisory committee. And if you notice on that sheet, Senator Hannon, there's only $8,000. Let's see, what is it? by the...
8275.
For the committee itself, you're talking about $8,200 in per diem expenses for the committee, and the rest of it is all supplies and stuff, and you can't tell me that it's going to take roughly $74,000 to staff a committee in addition to what they were going to do with the management plan anyway.
Well, I don't know why we should give them more than the $8,275, so let's hear from the department division.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Lilly. I'm the Assistant Administrator of the Parks Division in charge of Scenic Waterways Program, and have been involved in this Deschutes Boater Pass program since 1980 when the governor set up the first task force, which resulted in the formation of the Boater Pass program, which was passed in the 1981 session. I would say that the characterization that the division is against the bill as presented is true to some extent. It's kind of a form over substance kind of issue. We support the idea of doing a management plan, vehemently support it. We're also supportive of citizen involvement. We have an existing Governor's Scenic Waterway Advisory Committee. The issue that we differ on between the sponsor of the bill and what we plan to do is the creation of a permanent standing advisory committee and to do this effort.
How about a four-year sunset?
Specifically for the Deschutes.
How about a four-year sunset?
At one time, we indicated that a sunset provision in this bill would might be appropriate. I have not checked that out with my commission.
I took the liberty of checking with the chairman of the Transportation Commission, and that four-year sunset is there specifically at his request, and he said if we did that, he wouldn't have that much problem with the bill.
Does that change your attitude a little?
It certainly does. We'll need to.
Okay.
No, up until this moment, you understand that
I understand.
we had not known that that was an option.
Right. Okay.
As long as we're in session, anything's an option.
To the fiscal issue.
Okay.
It is true that we intended to do a management plan, and we have a certain amount of money in the existing budget. And at the time that we spoke of a management plan, it was to be, as Representative Faubusch identified, a low-key effort using the current resources we have. Keep in mind that our budget, as you know, is an expenditure limitation budget. We have other funds, expenditure limitation, general fund, federal funds, etc.
Mm-hmm.
As we got into this process, it became apparent that the kinds of direction that we were hoping from the legislature in terms of setting use levels and development levels wasn't going to happen. Seeing that what we have today is a much more complex plan than what we originally anticipated, we see a need for full-time staff to staff the committee, to work with the many other agencies that are involved in the user groups. This is not an easy process. Had it been easy, I'm sure that a management plan would have been hammered out on the Deschutes years ago.
So over the biennium, there's 11 two-day meetings, and for that you need a full-time person to staff it.
And write the plan.
And you maybe need the staff person to hand around the advisory committee as much as possible, maybe. Okay. I don't know where to go with this.
Let's just go with it.
Well, let's just give them... Well, what would they do? What would you do? We just gave $8,275 for the per diem of the advisory committee and asked you to absorb the cost of it. What would you do?
Mr. Chairman, we wouldn't be able to do that with existing resources.
You just refuse to do it, even if we told you to do it.
Well, we have a currently adopted and signed governor's budget, which sets our priorities at this point.
Oh.
We would be able to do the low-key approach like we've talked about using our existing Scenic Waterway Advisory Committee.
You understand that the latest bill to pass has priority over any prior bill.
Uh-huh.
I think to just interrupt, we would fall back and check with the chairman of the commission and see how we can get that job done. If you tell us to do it, we're going to do it the best we can. We understand that. But I'd like a little time to check that out.
Maybe a day. Representative Faubusch.
Could we ask on that voter pass fee, John and I went over that, and I don't want to misspeak myself, but just what is the availability, John, within that $382,000?
Okay, Representative Fawbush mentioned that there's $153,500 identified for acquisition and development next biennium. There are some projects there that require either acquisition or agreement from another entity, in this case the Warm Springs Confederated Tribes or the Bureau of Land Management. Two of those projects are the Harpam Flat improvements for $53,000 and the Sandy Beach improvements for $25,500. Sandy Beach is a property owned by the tribes. At this point, they have not indicated that they're interested in moving with that project and may not do so, I imagine, until they're sure what the management plan is going to look like. The Harpam Flat improvements are monies that would be passed through the BLM to assist them in developing a piece of private property that we're hoping that they would be able to acquire within the next 2 years. As yet, they've not been able to sew up that acquisition. And finally, the Warm Springs acquisition at $25,000 is a piece of property adjacent to the highway bridge on Highway 26 at Warm Springs, and we've been interested in purchasing that property for some time and hope to make a purchase within the next biennium.
What's the time schedule on the Harpam Flats?
Well, we'd anticipated, up until now, we were hoping to do it in this biennium, but BLM is having trouble with the acquisition.
Well, Representative Jones.
Just a few questions so that I am sure that I know what I'm thinking about. The Fish and Wildlife owns this land. They purchased that last station or two stations ago, whenever it was. Is that right?
Part of it, a small part down at the Yamal.
Then who owns the rest of it? It's all
Bureau of Land Management, some private, basically it's BLM, and some private.
But now you have been designated the department to manage the whole thing, BLM and all.
There's basically yes. As a result of the distribution pass system that you
run, but what I'm hearing here is that this group that's being this management group that's being created under this bill then would be involved in the management. I mean, you are talking about limited access to protect some areas that are getting overused, apparently. Is that right? And then they're saying they don't want limited access. They just want to turn loose. That's what I've been informed anyway.
They're now two different schools.
These are critical things. You people have been told to run it, manage it, do whatever necessary to do it. Now then, if the group's going to come in and tell you that that isn't the way to do it, and that they don't want limited access, then you've got to have some more money to protect the very banks that you're talking about protecting through limited access. Isn't that a fair statement? Do we have a similar situation like this today, Representative Fawbush, that we delegated the Parks Division to manage this river, and it's owned by some private, some BLM, and some Fish and Wildlife. Do we have a like situation where there is a management group that tells them, that helps tell them how to run it?
They have a scenic waterways committee that supposedly works with all of the waterway rivers. But I don't think any of the rivers are at the point of development and discussion as the Deschutes is at this point. I don't think, is it?
Early days in the Rogue.
Well, the Rogue River.
The Rogue River, but the Rogue River is basically a decided issue. That's set up and managed, and it's got a plan. And it's on its way.
But Mr. Chairman, isn't the Owyhee part of that in the Scenic River system?
Yes, sir.
It's managed by who?
By the BLM. Yes, sir.
The Attorney General's office informs us that the law as before the committee would be, the committee would be advisory only. Would not have authority
yeah, that's right.
To make decisions or require decisions to be made, it would be advisory in the same sense that we do have other advisory committees in the statutes.
We're not delegating executive authority to a committee, no.
We originally, Mr. Chairman, President Jones, the original draft of the bill was to set up basically a commission to run the shoots. And I was very interested in that because I think the shoots is that valuable from a resource. But we deferred the strong objections of the department to let them have final management say over that. All we're asking is that they make, frankly, I think they're going to make the job a little bit easier, and it's going to, and hopefully it will finish the legislative discussion of that, because every session for the last three or four sessions, we've had the Deschutes as a topic of discussion because the parties involved couldn't get along outside of this body, and we've had to mediate. And I think we're making a mistake if we expect to develop a management plan that doesn't have those parties involved.
Yeah,
for sure. Sure. Right, that was yeah.
Just what has been discussed here, advisory only, and we've got two issues that we're at odds with before we even start. And that's from a limited ended standpoint. Now, if they're going to recommend to you that you not have limited entry, then who's going to have the final say as to whether you have limited entry or not? And if you still have it, then the question is whether you need the advisory committee.
I think they need the advisory committee because those are the people, if they're not satisfied, they're going to be back in the legislature again asking us to redo it.
Kenzie Nausiger would like to say something. She's a proponent of the bill.
Thank you.
She's a citizen of the
as
state.
As far as limited entry is concerned, there is a statement in the bill that allows for the possibility of future limited entry. And we do have very much at heart the health of the river, the ecological health of the river. At such point as it would be determined that other management techniques were not working to help the river preserve its ecological health, we would even recommend a limited entry system.
That's a little different than the testimony you gave me at my office.
Well, not exactly. And the other thing that, while I have the floor, the other thing that I would like to mention too is that those who have us who designed the bill, I don't think would agree totally with the sunset provision. We would go for maybe sunset review, but
that was my invention, and if they did not sign off on it, that was an agreement between myself and the transportation chair.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fulbright has been around a while. Knows that they have, the sunsets do have their place.
Yes.
It was.
Well, it might have changed the mind of the department here.
Well, I'd hope that it would work some persuasion, but
well, the word would have to filter.
Maybe we'll have to take it back off. I'm not sure it was worth the
I think suggestion. You could leave it on with the provision in there that you did have some other means of, like you were talking about, a Scenic Waterways Commission or something of that nature.
I think, Pansy, that discussion, we will be driven to that eventually, because I think we're going to find not only the Parks Division, but ourselves are going to find that these scenic waterways are going to be major points of discussion, tied up in the whole water issue, and the way we use those for the recreational value and how we get the maximum dollars out of them, whether it be tourism or farming or whatever, that's going to be a more central issue. And I think by 4 years from now, they're going to be clamoring for some strong, unified approach.
Thank you. Well, anyway, this is just a little Ways and Means Subcommittee. Can't deal with those great big policy issues. I just haven't been persuaded that we need to more than $8,275. Yes,
if I may. I've done enough to them, maybe try to speak maybe for them for a minute.
Well, you already did.
I think your analyst has posed the question fairly accurately. And he's saying, just instead of trying to beat blood out of a turnip, giving them the benefit of the doubt, I know there's some resources there that they can bring to bear on it.
Sure.
The question is, if we really want a plan that is meaningful and that really does cover the ground, it will take some work. It will take some staff work. And I guess I would recommend, I would suggest that if you were to look at a $45,000 appropriation out of the quarter pass fee.
Representative Jones, you were on a subcommittee that went through the whole budget and then bought projects with that money, right?
We only spent it.
So you want to end run another sub, huh? William?
I wouldn't call it an end run. I would call it a proactive consultation.
Well, how about, I'll tell you what, Wayne, I'll just run the subcommittee for today. I'm going to ask you to think real hard about whether you need any more money than $8,000 and go talk to the chair of the Transportation Committee and come on back. We'll just carry this thing over till tomorrow. Because the reason it's down here is because of a big, ugly fiscal impact statement. You didn't like the bill in the first place. Now you might have reasons to have changed your mind. I want to know, though, if you'd just sort of kill the program if we didn't give you any money, so that's the only reason I'd be interested in any at all. So, hearing adjourned.
Public safety of the Joint Ways and Means Committee meeting, May 27, 1987, 1:30 p.m.
through May 1, 7:04. Public safety subcommittee will come to order. Open work session on Hospital 3381. And please join us if you wish, department. And we'll proceed then through LFO recommendations, Mr. Weeks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe we're just taking off from your last decision to establish separate limitations, and following on that decision, we've got two suggested program limitations here before you, one for insurance and one for financial institutions. A third has already been resolved, and that is the workers' comp board. I mentioned that to you. So that if you were going to have limits then for all the program areas, you'd have three more remaining: workers' comp, APD, and the administration of the department as a whole. Those three will come to you as soon as that workers' comp budget is finished, probably Tuesday, we hope, and we can resolve that.
And if that is in Senator Trout's subcommittee, they'll be dealing with the numbers for workers' comp board, workers' comp division, and accident prevention division.
Mm-hmm.
Jones.
We heard part of the board.
It would be the chair's wish to finish our work on this budget, save for those limitation numbers that would come to us from Senator Trow's subcommittee, and then to move the bill to full committee.
Just wait for the numbers to be finalized.
Yeah. But the thing is, issues in this budget keep kind of coming out, kind of wanting to put the lid on a lot of them.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I've given you a legal size sheet, which, as I mentioned, describes insurance regulation, financial institutions regulation, program limits. This information, as far as the governor's revised column, comes from the blue book that we've worked with over the last 2 or 3 days. And I've compared that blue book, those blue book recommendations, with what we believe are reasonable adjustments to the blue book here, and let me go through them just quickly. Under insurance regulation, you start with the governor's printed budget of $6.4 million. The department has, through reorganization, recommended the elimination of two positions. One is the exec assistant B and the other is the manager B. We would concur in that. They have asked you to add a clerical specialist position, which is really a cashier's position. The fact that it's not here doesn't mean that we don't concur in the need for that, but we think it probably more appropriately belongs in the administrative services division. So we would add it to that when you get to that point. We'd add both the cost of the position and service and supplies to cover that position. So we'll deal with that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Well then, Mr. Chairman.
Marion Jones.
It'll be in. Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, when you get the limitation for admin services, that position will be there. We'll show it there.
Okay.
The reduction in services and supplies is a reduction that relates to the two positions that are deleted. If you delete positions, we feel like you ought to delete some S&S, because in other places in this recommended governor's budget, when positions were added, we added S&S. So both parts ought to occur. There's a PERS recalculation on the overall personal services of over $10,000, and some decision package adjustments that we made. Those decision package adjustments are capital outlay that related to the old replacement of the Prime system, PERS adjustments, and some telecommunication hookups that related to the replacement of the Prime system. So those we took out also. ASSD charges, the difference between the governor's revised column and what you see as LFO rec is that we started with the governor's printed budget. If you're going to use the governor's printed budget as your base, we thought you ought to take out the ASSD charges that are in the governor's printed budget. So we have some difference there. In total, you've got LFO recommendation of $5.8 million, 27 FTE compared to 28. And again, the difference in the FTE is the one cashier's position, which will reappear in administrative services next week when we present that to you. Happy to answer any questions about this portion of the recommendation, Mr. Chairman. Remember.
Department?
We agree with the Gary's analysis. We hadn't seen the exact dollar figures before, so we want to look at that.
The logic of the adjustments then makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And to move along, Mr. Chairman, in financial institutions, again, we've compared what's in the blue book with our own recommendations. There are 17 positions deleted in the governor's revised program. Four positions are added. And the first difference we have is in the addition of the four FTE. One of those that's added back is an examiner position in the credit union area, I believe. And what the department has said is that we want to add the limit and have the position authority, but we don't intend to fill the position until it appears there's a workload that warrants the addition of another position. Our suggestion to you is that you leave position authority but withdraw the funding. It'd be unusual to fund a position that you know you're not going to fill for some time. In the case of other agencies, we'd ask them to come back when it's clear that they have the workload and the revenue to support the position. I think that's this recommendation is consistent with that policy. Then you have a reclass in the deputy, or to a deputy, which in effect is to take one of the supervising exam managers and make he or she into a deputy in this department, which at present doesn't have a deputy. And there's a cost of over $4,000 to do that. The difference in the ASSD charges, again, is reflected in the fact that we began with the governor's original budget recommendation. The department started with something less than that, so we have some difference there. Service supplies is the same. Capital outlay, we're not recommending the capital outlay that is in the program. I believe it's in there in order to make the blue book figures balance with what the original task force report on financial institutions came out with, balance with that number, and that didn't seem to be reason enough to plug it in here. That may be a point that you'd want to discuss with the department. The collection agency transfer, these are the costs largely or almost wholly S&S service costs that would come into the new department because they're assuming the responsibility for collection agencies and debt consolidation and so on. That was formally done by the associated boards. And then there's ASSD charge reduction for those collection agency and debt consolidation services. The PERS adjustment, decision package adjustments, and adding the pawnbroker's costs. Pawnbrokers were not in the blue book figures. The cost is expected to be around $7,000, so we bumped those back in there. The difference then in FTE is 15 from the governor's revised recommendation. Those 15 are 1, an examiner 3 for the credit unions that we're recommending you not fill, and 14 positions that relate to anticipated legislation, something that's not passed yet, but at some point may before this session is over, in which case we believe the department ought to come back to you with a specific request for funding for whatever legislation occurs.
Department.
The capital outlay request was for portable personal computers for the bank examiners to use when they're out on examinations. And that was a recommendation that was included in the Financial Institutions Division Task Force report on the basis that it would increase their productivity to have these tools available for examinations. So we feel like that would be something that should be considered to be added back.
Well, what kind of portable computer would it be?
Yeah.
Kind of Representative Jones had.
mine don't cost this much.
No, but
a couple of
depends on which end of the stick you're on.